Reading from the ninth canto, the 23rd chapter. This chapter is more dynasties of the Moon Dynasty moving towards the advent of Krishna. And when Krishna allows, we'll actually go into the final chapter of the ninth canto, which is very much also fathers and sons, and then more sons and sons and sons and sons. We're getting closer and closer. With every generation, we're getting closer and closer to the advent of Krishna in this world. Sukadev Goswami said, this is the 23rd chapter, text 1. Anu, the fourth son of Dayati, had three sons named Sabhanara Chakshu Pareshnu. O king, from Sabhanara came a son named Kalanara. From Kalanara came a son named Srinjaya. From Srinjaya came a son named Janmanjaya. From Janamejaya came Mahashal. From Mahashal, Mahaman. From Mahaman, two sons, Utsarin and Jatikshu. The four sons of Utsarina were Sivi, Vara, Krimi, and Daksha. And from Sibi again came four sons named Rishadharva, Sudhira, Madra, Atmatatvavit, Kekai. The son of Titikshu was Rusadrat. From Rusadrat came Homa. From Homa, Sutapa, Bali. By the semen of Dirga Atma, Atama, in the wife of Bali, the emperor of the world, six sons took birth, namely Anga, Vanga, Kalinga, Shuma, Pundra, and Odra. These six sons, headed by Anga, later became kings of six states in the eastern side of India. These states were known according to the names of their respective kings. So one of those sons we know the name of, it's familiar if you've spent time in India, is Kalinga. So what state is that? Of Kalinga. Then text 7 through 10. From Divirata came a son named Dharmarata, and his son was Chitrarata, who was celebrated as Romapad. Romapad, however, was without issue, and therefore his friend Maharaj Dasarath gave him his own daughter named Shanta. Ramapada accepted her as his daughter, and therefore she married Rishi Sringa. This is a famous story in the Mahabharata. So Rishi Sringa was a sage living in the forest, and he was brought up in the forest. He was brought up as a brahmachari, and he never in his whole life saw a woman. And he was very, very, very powerful, the sage. Very, very pious. When the demigod from the heavenly planets failed to shower rain, Rishi Sringa was appointed the priest for performing a sacrifice. He had never seen a woman. He was living in the forest, and they learned that if he would come and perform the sacrifice, then rain would come to the kingdom. How to get him to come? He was a forest hermit. So they allured him with all these young women. And he had never seen a woman before. So he was like, amazed. What is this? What kind of creatures are these walking around? Romapada accepted her as his daughter, and thereafter she married Rishi Sringa. So they managed to get him to the kingdom. He performed the sacrifice, and the rains came. And after being brought from the forest by the allurement of prostitutes who danced, staged theatrical performances accompanied by music and embraced and worshipped him. So, he came back out of the forest. After Rishi Shringa came, the rain fell. Therefore, Rishi Shringa performed the sun-giving sacrifice on behalf of Maharaj Dasarath, who had no issue. And when Maharaj Dasarath had sons, then he had sons. From Romapad, by the mercy of Rishi Shringa, Chaturanga was born. Chaturanga came Prithulaksha. The sons of Prithulaksha were Brihadratta, Brihadkarma, and Brihadbanu. From the eldest, Brihadratta, came a son named Brihanmana, and from Brihanmana came a son named Jayadratta. The son of Jayadratta, by the womb of his wife Sambhuti, was Vijay, and from Vijay, Driti was born. From Driti came Dhritavrat, from Dhritavrat, Satkarma, from Satkarma, Adirat. While playing on the bank of the Ganges, Adirat found a baby wrapped up in a basket. The baby had been left by Kunti because he was born before she was married. Who was the father of that baby? Because Adiratta had no sons, he raised the baby as his own. This son was later known as Karna. O king, the only son of Karna was Rishasena Druya. The son Druya, the third son of Yayati, had a son named Babru, and the son of Babru was known as Setu. The son of Setu was Arabda, and Arabda's son was Gandhar. And Gandhara's son was Dharma. Dharma's son was Drita. Drita's son was Dharmad, and Dharmad's son was Pracheta, with 100 sons. The Prachetas, the sons of Pracheta, occupied the northern side of India, which was devoid of Vedic civilization, and became kings there. Yayati's second son was Turvasu. The son of Turvasu was Vani, the son of Vani, Bharga, the son of Bharga, Banuman. The son of Banuman was Trivanu, and his son was the magnanimous Karandham. Karandham's son was Maruta, who had no sons, and who therefore adopted a son of the Pura dynasty, Maharaj Dushmanta, as his own. Again, all these stories are in the Mahabharata. Maharaj Dushmanta, desiring to occupy the throne, returned to his original dynasty, the Pura dynasty, even though he had accepted Maruta as his father. O Maharaj Prickett, let me now describe the dynasty of Yadu, the eldest son of Maharaj Jayati. And who was born in the Yadu dynasty? Krishna. This description is supremely pious, and it vanquishes the reaction of sinful activities in human society. Simply by hearing this description, one is freed from all sinful reactions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Paramatma, Bhagavan, the Super Soul in the hearts of all living entities, descended in his original form as a human being in the dynasty or family of Jadu. Jadu had four sons named Sahasrajit, Kroshtanala, Ripu. Of these four, the eldest, Sahasrajit, had a son named Satyajit, who had three sons named Mahahaya, Renuhai, and Haihai. Now Prabhupada, in his purport to this verse, speaks about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Prabhupada's purport. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, Vedanti tat tatvavidas tatvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti sabhyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. The majority of transcendentalists understand only the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma. For this personality of Godhead is very difficult to understand. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye, yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam vyati tatvatam. And of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter. The yogis and jnanis, that is the mystic yogis and the impersonalists, can understand the absolute truth as impersonal or localized, that's Brahman or Paramatma. But although such realized souls are above ordinary human beings, they cannot understand how the supreme absolute truth can be a person. Why is it so difficult to understand that the absolute truth is a person? Because personality, as we have many times said, means specific characteristics. Form means specific characteristics. So if one has specific characteristics, that means there are other characteristics he doesn't have. So if one has blackish curly hair, as Krishna has blackish curly hair, he doesn't have blonde short hair. So how can someone be unlimited while possessing characteristics? Because that implies that there are certain things that he doesn't have. If he's here, if his form is here, that means it's not everywhere. So someone who's carrying a mundane conception and has judged everything by his mundane conception, he will think that how could the Supreme Lord, the Unlimited, the Parameshwara, be personal? Because that would limit him. But actually, exactly the opposite is true. Because if we say the inconceivable Lord cannot have form, well, that limits him. He can't have a material form, or rather, he can't only have a material form, but why can't he have form? If we say he can't have form, well, who's going to stop him from having form if he wants to have form? You're not allowed to do that. Well, the meaning of the Parameshwara, the Supreme Controller, is that he does whatever he likes to do. The meaning of Bhagavan means that he, or that form, is the source of all other aspects of the Absolute Truth, none different from him. That's the meaning in the verse of Adhaya Gyan, or Adhaya, means the non-dual substance. It is not that there is Bhagavan, and or the personality of Godhead, and that's somehow different from the Paramatma or the localized Lord, or the Lord who's a person but without all the qualities, or Brahman, not different from the all-pervading Absolute Truth, not different, Advaya Gyan. But he has different aspects. This Absolute Truth is so great, he has different aspects. And according to how one worships him, he reveals his aspects, one or another of his aspects. So if one meditates upon Brahman and performs austerities and basically stops his mind from working, then he will realize the oneness of himself with everything. Tattvamasi. Aham Brahmasmi. Soham. That is the Brahman aspect of the Lord. And if one practices yoga, so through jnana or sankhya, one may understand the Brahman aspect. If one practices yoga, then one will understand the Lord as the Supersoul, as the Paramatma in everyone's heart. And if one practices bhakti, then Krishna will reveal the most primal form of himself, of the Absolute Truth. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan. Bhagavaniti, Sabyate. The learned people understand. That is Bhagavan. Vishnu, Narayan, Krishna. And the most intimate aspect of the personality of Godhead is Krishna. Krishna's tu, Bhagavan Swayam, ete chang sakala pungsan Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. So it's not that the Absolute Truth isn't all-pervading, and it's not that the Absolute Truth doesn't have qualities, but also he is a person. And that personal aspect, the personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is what is the relationship everyone is longing to develop. Tamasima Jyotigama, the Vedas say. Get out of darkness and look towards the light. This, he is the light, actually. Not that is the light, but he is the light. Krishna, Supreme Personality of God. And he is going to take his birth. We are going to hear about that. So amazingly, he's going to take his birth and perform activities. He is a personality who will take his birth in a specific place, and he will perform specific activities. He won't do everything all at once. He'll perform all the activities as he wants to perform them, because he's the Supreme Controller. He's not forced to do anything. He's not forced to go to work. He's not forced, his body's not forced to change, because what makes our bodies change and grow older? We're under the laws of material nature, but he is the source of the laws of material nature. The laws of material nature are under him. So how will he act? What will he do? How will he exhibit his personality? We're going to soon hear about that. And why does he choose one thing over another? Why does he choose to play the flute as opposed to saxophone or something like that, or the bassoon or the electric guitar? Why? Because he's a personality, Supreme Personality. So as soon as someone says, oh, he's a coward boy, then some will say, well, why not dogs? Why does Krishna specifically like cows? Why not dogs? I like dogs. Especially big ones with long tongues that lick you. I like them, so how come? Why that? Because he's God. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's teaching us by what he does. He's teaching that the proper way to live is this agrarian lifestyle based on the cows, the land, in a religious way, very simple, very peaceful. Yes, but aside from that, he likes the cows. And if anyone has ever dealt with cows, not the cows that have been born to be slaughtered, but cows, real cows, they're such soothing, peaceful persons. They also have personalities. They also have personalities, but they're very sweet and soothing and motherly, very wonderful. See, even the demigods are singing praise of the cows. Very hard, so it's very rare. Manushyanam sasayishu. Out of thousands amongst men, one is interested in self-realization. And of those, maybe one can understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he is. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making it easier. I used to say easy, but now I'm older, I say easier. They cannot understand how the Supreme Absolute Truth can be a person. Therefore it is said that out of many siddhas means the souls have already realized the Absolute Truth, one may understand Krishna, who exactly resembles a human being. Narakriti performs the activities of a human. This human form was explained by Krishna himself after he manifested the Virata Rupa. The Virata Rupa is not the original form of the Lord. The Lord's original form is Dvija Bhuja Shyama Sunda. Dvija Bhuja means what? Two-armed Shyama Sunda. Disvedam Manushan Rupam Tava Shomyam Janardana. Arjuna says to Krishna, let me see you in your two-armed form. Or Krishna says, this is my beautiful shom. This is my beautiful shomyam tavarjana. Oh Arjuna, this is my beautiful two-armed form that I'm manifesting as you requested. The Virat Rupa is not, yes, Murlida, Shama Sunda Murlida, the Lord with two hands playing a flute. Yam Shama Sunda Ramachinta Gunasarupam. The Lord's forms are proof of his inconceivable qualities. So he has a form, but his form is not like our form. My form, if it's here, it's not there. If I have no hair, that means I don't have blonde hair. But Krishna has everything, even though he has specific qualities too. He is not limited. He is unlimited. Achintya gunasarupa. So the Lord's form is the proof of his inconceivable qualities. Although the Lord maintains innumerable universes within the period of his breath, he is dressed with a form exactly like that of a human being. That does not mean, however, that he is a human being. This is his original form. But because he looks like a human being, those with a poor fund of knowledge consider him an ordinary man. The Lord says, Abhajananti mamuda manushyam tanamashritam parambhava majanato mamabhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in this human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. He is an unlimited person, not a limited person. So that is inconceivable to us. So therefore the term achintya gunasarupa. By the Lord's parambhavam, or transcendental nature, he is the all-pervading paramatma living in the core of all living entities. Yet he looks like a human being. Mayavad philosophy says that the Lord was originally impersonal but assumes a human form and many other forms when he descends. Actually, however, he is originally like a human being, and the personal, impersonal Brahman consists of the rays of his body. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagaranda koti. Text 22. So more in his family. The son of Haihai was Dharma. From the son of Dharma was Netra, the father of Kunti. From Kunti came a son named Sahanji. From Sahanji came Mahishman. From Mahishman, Bhadra Senak. The sons of Bhadrasena were known as Durmad and Danaka. Danaka was the father of Kritavirya and also of Kritagni, Kritavarma and Kritauja. The son of Kritavirya was Arjun. He, Kartavirya Arjun, became the emperor of the entire world consisting of seven islands and received mystic power from Dattatreya. So we heard about him. And who killed him? Parsaram, yes. So he was so powerful. Thus he obtained the mystic perfections known as Asta Siddhis, the eight mystic perfections. Very powerful. No other king in this world could equal Kartavirya Arjuna in sacrifices, charity, austerity, mystic power, education, strength, or mercy. For 85,000 years, Kartavirya Arjuna continuously enjoyed material opulence with full bodily strength and unimpaired memory. In other words, he enjoyed inexhaustible material opulence with his six senses. Of the 1,000 sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, only five remained alive after the fight with Parsaram. Their names were Jayadwaj, Surasena, Brishab, Madhu, and Urjita. Jayadwaj had a son named Talanjanga, who had 100 sons. All the Kshatriyas in that dynasty, known as Talanjanga, were annihilated by the great power received by Maharaj Sagar from Orva Rishi. Of the sons of Talanjanga, Vittihotra was the eldest. The son of Vittihotra named Maru had a celebrated son named Vrishni. Maru had 100 sons, of whom Vrishni was the eldest. The dynasty known as Yadava, Madhava, and Vrishni had their origin from Yadu, Madhu, and Vrishni. Yadavaya, Madhavaya, Keshavaya, Namaha. O Maharaj Prickett, because Yadu, Madhu, and Vrishni each inaugurated a dynasty, their dynasties are known as Yadava, Madhava, and Vrishni. The son of Yadu named Kroshta had a son named Vrijinavan. The son of Vrijinavan was Svahita, the son of Svahita, Vishagu, the son of Vishagu, Chitrarata, the son of Chitrarata, Shashabindu. The greatly fortunate Shashabindu, who was a great mystic, possessed 14 opulences and was the owner of 14 great jewels. Thus he became the emperor of the world. Prabhupada's purport quotes the Markandeya Purana that describes the 14 kinds of great jewels that are required to be the emperor. They are an elephant, horse, chariot, a wife, arrows, a reservoir of wealth, a garland, valuable costumes, trees, a spear, a noose, jewels, an umbrella, and regulative principles. To be the emperor, one must possess all 14 of these opulences. Shashabindu possessed them all. The famous Shashabindu had 10,000 wives, and by each he begot a lakh of sons. That's 100,000 times 10,000. It's 50. It's a lot. Therefore, the number of his sons was 10,000 lakhs. That's more than I just said, 10,000 lakhs. Amongst these many sons, six were the foremost, such as Prithushrava and Prithukirti. The son of Prithushrava was known as Dharma, and his son was known as Ushan. Ushan was the performer of 100 horse sacrifices. So all these incredible personalities, they pass one after another. He performed 100 horse sacrifices. Incredible. He had so much piety, so much wealth, so much power. His name was Ushan. And then Ushan's son was Ruchaka, who had 5 sons, Purujit, Rukma, Rukmeshu, Prithu, Jamaga. Please hear of these sons from me. Jamaga had no sons, but because he was fearful of his wife, Saibya, he could not accept another wife. Jamaga once took from the house of some royal enemy, a girl who was a prostitute. But upon seeing her, Saibya was very angry and said to her husband, "My husband, you cheater, who is this girl sitting upon my seat on the chariot?" Janmaga then replied, "This girl will be your daughter-in-law." Upon hearing these joking words, Saibya smilingly replied. Saibya said, "I am sterile and have no co-wife. How can this girl be my daughter-in-law? Please tell me." Jamaga replied, "My dear queen, I shall see that you indeed have a son and that this girl will be your daughter-in-law." Long ago, Jamaga had satisfied the demigods and pittas by worshipping them. Now, by their mercy, Jayamaga's words came true. Although Saibya was barren, by the grace of the demigods, she became pregnant, and in due course of time gave birth to a child named Vidarbha. Before the child's birth, the girl had been accepted as a daughter-in-law, and therefore Vidarbha actually married her when he grew up. Chapter 24, entitled Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the final chapter in the ninth canto. Sukadev Goswami said, "By the womb of the girl brought by his father, Vidarbha begot 3 sons named Kusha, Kratta, and Romapad. Romapad was the favorite in the dynasty of Vidarbha. The son of Romapad was Babru, from whom there came a son named Kriti. The son of Kriti was Ushik, and the son of Ushik was Chedi. From Chedi was born the king known as Chaidya and others. The sons of Kratta was Kunti, the son of Kunti, Vrishni, the son of Vrishni, Nivriti, the son of Nivriti, Darshaha. From Darshaha came Vyoma, Vyoma, Vimuta, from Vimuta, Vikriti, from Vikriti, Bhimarata, from Bhimarata, Navarata, and from Navarata, Dasarata. So remember that famous son back who was Shashabindu, who possessed the 14 jewels? We already forgot about him. This is the nature of the material world. What can we do in this world to achieve the permanence? You know, we talk about, you know, I want to accomplish something with my life. What can we do, really, in 200 years? Who will know we even existed? Probably. They tried to make you eternal by naming a power station after you, or some street in some new suburb or something like that. But no one will know, no one will care. So really, we should use our time properly, not to try to accomplish something in the material world. We should really use our time to accomplish something on the spiritual level, because whatever we gain on the spiritual level is eternally ours. We will never lose it. Never, ever, ever. From Dasarath came a son named Sakuni, and from Sakuni a son named Karambi. The son of Karambi was Devarata, and his son name was Devashatra. The son of Devashatra was Madhu. How many generations just passing and passing? We don't even know who our great-great-grandfather was, probably. And who, he had so many children, he had so many accomplishments and struggles in his life. Now, where is he? What body is he? As Prabhupada said, only a list, all that remains is a list of names. The son of Devashatru was Madhu, and his son name was Kuruvasa, from whom there came a son named Anu. The son of Anu was Puruhotra, the son of Puruhotra was Ayu, the son of Ayu was Satvata. O great Aryan king, Satvata had seven sons: Vajaman, Vaji, Divya, Vrishni, Deva, Vridha, Andaka, Mahabhoja. From Vajamana, by one wife, came three sons, Nimlochi, Kinkan, and Drishti. And from his other wife came three other sons, Satajit, Sahasrajit, and Ayutajit. The son of Deva Vridha was Babru, another Babru. Concerning Deva Vridha and Babru, there are two famous songs of prayer, which were sung by our predecessors, and which we have heard from a distance. Even now I hear the same prayers about their qualities, because that which was heard before is still sung continuously. And these are the two verses. It has been decided that amongst human beings, Babru is the best, and Devavrida is equal to the demigods. Because of the association of Babru and Devavrida, all of their descendants, numbering 14,065, achieved liberation. In the dynasty of King Mahabhoja, who was exceedingly religious, there appeared the Bhoja kings. O King Raj Prickett, who could suppress your enemies? The sons of Vrishni were Sumitra and Yudhajit. From Yudhajit came Sini and Anamitra. And from Anamitra came a son named Nigna. The two sons of Nigna were Shatrajita and Prasena. Another son of Anamitra was another Shini, and his son was Satyaka. The son of Satyaka was Yuyudan, whose son was Jai. From Jai came a son named Kuni, and from Kuni a son named Yugandhar. Another son of Amitra was Vrishni. From Vrishni came the son named Svafalka and Chitrarat. From Svafalka, by his wife Gandini, came Akrura. Akrura was the eldest, but there were 12 other sons, all of whom were most celebrated. The names of these 12 are Asanga, Sarameya, Mridvura, Mriduvitgira, Dharmavridha, Sukama, Chetropeksha, Arimardhan, Satrugna, Gandamada, and Pratibahu. These brothers also had a sister named Sutrara. From Akrura came two sons named Devavan and Upadev. Shetarata had many sons, headed by Prithu and Vidurata, all of whom were known as belonging to the dynasty of Rishi. Kukora and Bajaman also, remember, when it described about Krishna, it said that just by hearing of the dynasty of Krishna, even though it seems so simple, that once sins are vanquished. Kukura, Bajaman, Suchi, and Kambala Bahish were the four sons of Andaka. The son of Kukura was Vani, and his son was Viloma. The son of Viloma was Kapotoroma, and his son was Anu, whose friend was Tumburu. From Anu came Andaka, from Andaka, Dundubi, from Dundubi, Abhidyota, from Abhidyota came a son named Punavasu. Punavasu had a son and a daughter named Ahuka and Ahuki, respectively. And Ahuka had two sons named Devaka and Ugrasena. Devaka had four sons named Devavan, Upadeva, Sudev, and Devadhan. And he also had seven daughters named Shanti Deva, Upadeva, Sri Deva, Devarakshita, Sahadeva, Devaki, and Dhritadeva. Dhritadeva was the eldest. Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, married all these sisters. Kamsa, Sunama, Nyagroda, Kanka, Sanku, Suhu, Rastrapal, Dristi, and Tushtiman were the sons of Ugrasena. Kamsa, Kamsavati, Kanka, Surabahu, and Rastrapalika were the daughters of Ugrasena. Kamsa, they became the wives of Vasudeva's younger brothers. The sons of, so you can see how the dynasties were all intermixed there, the Vasudeva and this Ugrasena dynasty. The son of Chitarata was Vidurata. The son of Vidurata was Sura, and his son was Bajaman. The son of Bajaman was Sini, and the son of Sini was Bhoja, and the son of Bhoja was Ritika. The three sons of Ritika were Devamida, Shatadanu, and Kritavarma. The son of Devamida was Shura, whose wife was named Marisha. Thumarisha, King Sura, begot Vasudev, Deva Bhaga, Deva Srav, Anaka, Srinjai, Syamaka, Kanka, Samika, Vatsaka, and Vrika. These 10 sons were spotlessly pious personalities. When Vasudeva was born, the demigods from the heavenly kingdom sounded kettle drums. Therefore Vasudeva, who provided the proper place for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was also known as Anaka Danduri because of the sounding of the kettle drums. The five daughters of King Sura named Prita, Shrutadev, Shrutakirti, Shrutashravan, Rajhadi Devi were Vasudeva's sisters. Sura gave Prita to his friend Kunti, who had no issue, and therefore another name of Prita was Kunti. Once when Durvasa was a guest at the house of Prita's father, Kunti, Prita satisfied Durvasa by rendering service. Therefore she received the mystic power by which she could call any demigod. To examine the potency of this mystic power, the pious Kunti immediately called for the sun god. As soon as Kunti called for the demigod of the sun, he immediately appeared before her, and she was very much surprised. She told the sun god, "I was simply examining the effectiveness of this mystic power. I'm sorry I've called you unnecessarily. Please return and excuse me." The sun god said, "Oh, beautiful Prita, your meeting with the demigods cannot be fruitless. Therefore, let me place my seed in your womb so that you may bear a son. I shall arrange to keep your virginity intact, since you are still an unmarried girl." Oh, that's perfect. According to Vedic civilization, if a girl gives birth to a child before she is married, no one will marry her. Therefore, although the sun god, after appearing before Pita, wanted to give her a child, Pita hesitated because she was still unmarried. To keep her virginity undisturbed, the sun god arranged to give her a child that came from her ear. And therefore, the child was known as Karna. The custom is that a girl should be married akshatayoni, that is, with her virginity undisturbed. A girl should never bear a child before her marriage. Text 35. After saying this, the sun god said that he would give her a child. The sun god discharged his semen into the womb of Prita and then returned to the celestial kingdom. Immediately thereafter, from Kunti, a child was born who was like a second sun god. Because Kunti feared people's criticism, with great difficulty she had to give up her affection for her child. Unwillingly, she packed her child in a basket and let it float down the waters of the river. O Maharaj Prickett, your great-grandfather, the pious and chivalrous King Pandu, later married Kunti. That child, as we heard already, was Karna, who was fighting with Arjun, who was born of Indra. Vidhashama, the king of Karusha, married Kunti's sister Shrutadev, and from her womb Dantavakra was born. Having been cursed by the sages headed by Shanaka, Dantavakra had formerly been born as a son of Diti named Haranyaksha. King Drishtaketu, the king of Keke, married Shrutakirti, another sister of Kunti. Shrutakirti had 5 sons headed by Shantardhan. So you can see why Arjuna was so upset having to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, because everyone was related to each other. Yet everyone was a relative or a friend or an associate. Through the womb of Rajhadi Devi, another sister of Kunti, Jayasena begot 2 sons named Vinda and Anuvinda. Similarly, the king of Chedi state married Shrutashrava. This king's name was Damagosha. The son of Shrutashrava was Shishupal, whose birth has already been described in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudeva's brother named Devabhaga had 2 sons born of his wife Kamsa. These 10 sons were Chitraketu and Vihadbala. Vasudeva's brother named Devashrava married Kamsavati, by whom he begot 2 sons named Suvirya and Ishuman. Kanka, by his wife Kanka, begot 3 sons named Baka, Satyajit, and Purujit. King Srinjai, by his wife Rastrapalika, begot sons headed by Vrishan and Dharmashan. King Shamaka, by his wife Surabhumi, begot 2 sons named Harikesh and Haranyaksha. Thereafter, King Vatsaka, by the womb of his wife Misrakeshi, who was an apsara, begot sons headed by Vrika. Vrika, by his wife Durvakshi, begot Taksha, Pushkara, Shala, and others. From Samika, by the womb of his wife Sudamani, came Sumitra, Arjunapal, and other sons. King Anaka, by his wife Karnika, begot sons named Ritudam and Jai. Devaki, Puravi, Rohini, Bhadra, Madhira, Rochan, Ila, and others were all wives of Vasudeva, Anaka Dandavi. Amongst them all, Devaki was the chief. Vasudeva, by the womb of his wife Rohini, begot sons such as Bala, Gadi, Gada, Sharana, Durmada, Vipula, Dhruva, Krita, and others. From the womb of Puravi came 12 sons, including Bhuta, Subhadra, Bhadrabahu, Durmada and Bhadra, Nanda, Upananda, Krita, Sura, and others were born from the womb of Madhira. Bhadra, Kaushalya, gave birth to only 1 son named Keshi. Vasudeva, by his other wives, whose name was Rochan, begot Hasta, Hemangara, and other sons. And by his wife named Ila, he begot sons headed by Uruvalka, all of whom were chief personalities in the dynasty of Yadu. From the womb of Dhritadev, one of the wives of Manaka Dundubi Vasudev, came a son named Ripsrita. The sons of Shantidev, another wife of Vasudev, were Prasam, Prasita, and others. Vasudev also had a wife named Upadev. from whom came 10 sons headed by Ranjaya, Kalpa, and Varsha. From Srideva, another wife, came 6 sons, such as Vasudevamsa and Suvamsa. By the semen of Vasudeva in the womb of Devarakshita, 9 sons were born, headed by Gada. Vasudeva, who was religion personified, also had a wife named Sahadeva, by whose womb he begot 8 sons, headed by Shruta and Pravar. The 8 sons born of Sahadeva, such as Pravar and Shruta, were exact incarnations of the 8 Vasus in the heavenly planets. Vasudeva also begot 8 highly qualified sons through the womb of Devaki. These included Kirtimam, Shushena, Bhadrasena, Riju, Samardhan, Bhadra, and Sankarshan, the controller and serpent incarnation. Who is that? Balaram, the 8th son. The 8th son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Krishna. The highly fortunate Subhadra, the one daughter, was your grandmother. He's talking to Cricket Raj. Prabhupada's purport. The 55th verse says, Svayam eva hari kila, indicating that Krishna, the 8th son of Devaki, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is not an incarnation, although there is no difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, and his incarnation. Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the complete Godhead. Incarnations exhibit only a certain percentage of the potencies of Godhead. The complete Godhead is Krishna himself, who appeared as the 8th son of Devaki. Whenever the principles of religion deteriorate and the principles of irreligion increase, the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, appears by his own will. So we'll read this last purport. And then after this, to the end of the chapter, which, if Krishna allows, will complete tomorrow, Prabhupada does give some commentaries. So this one starts like the Bhagavad Gita verse, it's 56. Yada yada hi dhamasya chayo vidis chapapmana tadatu bhagavanisha atmanam sri jate hari. Whenever the principles of religion deteriorate and the principles of irreligion increase, the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, appears by his own will. Prabhupada's purport. The principles by which an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends upon earth are explained in this verse. The same principles are explained in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7 by the Lord himself. Yada yada hidamasya glanir bhavati bharata adhuttanam madamasya tatatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In the present age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to inaugurate the Hare Krishna movement. At the present time in Kali Yuga, people are extremely sinful and bad, manda. They have no idea of spiritual life and are misusing the benefits of the human form of life to live like cats and dogs. Under these circumstances, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has inaugurated the Hare Krishna movement, which is not different from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one associates with this movement, he directly associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People should take advantage of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and thus gain relief from all the problems created in the age of Kali. What was the last sentence I read? I'll read it again. People should take advantage of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and thus gain relief from all the problems created by this in this age of Kali. So this was Prabhupada's mission and the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement. The primary mission was to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world. And just see before 19, Prabhupada came to, when did he land in New York?
1965.
Yes, what month? September, yes. Before then, how many people in the West heard of Hare Krishna? Let's see the difference. 40 years, huh? He said that, he predicted. Okay, that's one. Okay, anyone else? I said, how many people? So he said, okay, one, okay. There were more, two. Maybe two or three or maybe five or seven. But now, millions and millions, actually millions. And millions. So what has happened? Such an amazing thing has happened by the potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, power of Srila Prabhupada, and other devotees after, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada, great Vaishnavas empowered. But actually at that time, it was so amazing when now Hare Krishna, to be a devotee is in Australia, so accepted, no one even looks at you twice. Even in the 70s, you remember what it was like? People, you'd walk in the street and people thought you were crazy. Really, they just thought you were crazy, completely crazy. And I remember in the 60s in New York, people would pour things on your head and things like that. It was so heavy. So just see the difference, how Krishna consciousness has become accepted. Who could have expected it really to happen? Or the preaching in Russia, who could have expected that to happen? Prabhupada went there for a few days and he met one person, and that one person, he preached to that person and told them to spread the chanting, and that person got thousands and thousands of people chanting, and then Krishna consciousness just spread like wildfire there. Who could have imagined? And then the devotees risked their lives to go. Very, very heavy. China. There are so many Chinese devotees in China. Impossible. So many. Hundreds. I mean, not compared to the total population of China, so many, but something impossible. And they love to chant Hare Krishna. Remember, there's one person, what was his name? Lagudi. Lagudi is still probably still in Wollongong, right? Yeah, probably. He asked Prabhupada, because he was from Yugoslavia. At that time, Yugoslavia was such a heavy communist country. Tito was still alive then. And he said that he wanted to translate something into the local language of Prabhupada. And the question was asked to Prabhupada, can Krishna consciousness, can anyone be Krishna conscious there? And he said, now the time isn't right, but in time. I'm paraphrasing, but things will change. But who could have believed it? Because we have such a fixed conception of reality. This is reality, what I can see right here. But then everything can change. Sometimes it changes for the better. In this way we can say how wonderful. And sometimes material can become terrible. But reality doesn't have anything to do with any of these things. Reality has to do with our relationship with Krishna. So Krishna appears by his own will, the supreme controller, yada yada idamasa dvanir bhavati bharata. Tatmanam svijamyaham. He appears by his own internal energy. He doesn't take birth like we take birth. So we're going to hear now about Krishna. Oh, the next verse is described. We'll be hearing those of Krishna loud tomorrow. The beauty of Krishna. So many wonderful things. Any questions or comments? Thank you. Lived a very long time, and like the link between Srila Vyasadeva and Madhvacharya, when Madhvacharya went to the Himalayan mountains, he met Vyasadeva there. So I can't remember when Madhvacharya came, but it was in the last 2,000 years, I believe. And there's this major spiritual. There were links that aren't mentioned because only the prominent ones were mentioned, like between Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Narottama Das Thakur.
Also in this connection, who will be the successor to Prabhupada?
Who will be the successor to Prabhupada? He had so many disciples, so many of them can connect their disciples to Prabhupada.
Not all, but
so many can. Anyone who Krishna wants can do it. And Prabhupada actually ordered everyone to do that. Because Mahaprabhu ordered that. Amara gyai guru hai tare desh. On my order, become guru. Not one acharya. So someone in time may become very prominent, more prominent than the others. That will happen. Prabhupada didn't want effulgences around the head in the paintings.
There's only painting, they didn't actually have effulgences.
No, they had effulgence, but not only around their head, every part of them was effulgent.
But even
ordinary human people can have effulgences.
Prabhupada
had an effulgence.
What I'm trying to say is if the Lord Chaitanya is Vishnu,
and Advaita Charja is
Javeta
and Nityananda Prabhu
and Radharani, which is
and then the Gadara is Shakti Tattva, and it's a different energy, and Srivas represents Jiva Tattva.
So Does he have authority in falsehoods?
How many people can have any falsehoods?
It doesn't matter.
Not that it doesn't matter, but falsehoods doesn't mean Vishnu. It doesn't mean God. You can also have any falsehoods. Would you like to have any falsehoods? Huh?
Not mine to choose.
Would you like to have one? A little bit.
It would be fun.
You'd save electricity, huh? But it means there's different kinds of effulgences, actually. There's one that comes from spiritual purity, that comes from material potency. There's some comes from spiritual purity, and someone can have a charisma. Charisma means power coming from an attractiveness, the effulgence coming from some piety.
If you were going through all these dynasties, so many generations I've mentioned, so I presume each generation had probably 10 sons or 50 sons. So was there any criteria of why it's only one person mentioned?
Prominent.
Oh, okay.
And because that, through that person, because it's really coming to the point of Krishna, there's actually at the end of the ninth canto, there's a genealogical lists. There's a chart. There's so many charts that show who's all the things that we just read, if you want to take a look at it.
So it's not necessarily like first son or...
No, not necessarily.
Most prominent.
Or prominent. Well, one, it's worth mentioning, because some of them, it mentioned this son and who his children were, and then it mentioned this one. In a family, it may have mentioned sometimes quite a few of the sons. But it was hard to catch what was going on because of just by hearing it. But if you look at in the back of the ninth canto, it has charts of these things. You can see how it's traced. Yes.
The names, like when we get a name, our parents think Jim is a good name, or Joe is a good name, or the name of your grandfather, or something like that. Is there some different procedure for the list of names? I mean, why some happen so many times?
Well, they're popular names. Some of them obviously were popular. So there's a lot of... But also they had a system for naming based on astrology this person's name should start with these letters. There's an astrological way of naming as well. But obviously certain names were quite popular.
Other than that, it wasn't some period that they gave the kid a name later, and so manifest some
particular
symptoms that were appropriate for that.
Sometimes that also. It seems like all those were there. That happened with Indra's son. I think his name, can't remember his name now, not Indra's son, but Prithumaraja's son. Because he did something that he spared Indra's life. He gained the ability to be invisible. He was called something to that effect. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ki Jai.